Amen. Good to be here this morning.
Oh, Brother Andrew, he must really hate me. Amen. Let me get up here after these men of God. Like the preacher said one time, I feel like a mule in a Kentucky Derby. Amen. Coming up here to preach. All these good preachers. But I am thankful to be here. And I'm not going to be long. I know lunch is about ready. I'm just looking forward to seeing what God does this week. Amen. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. I don't have a very deep message, just to be honest. This is what God wanted me to preach. So I'm just going to give you what he told me. I got along with God yesterday afternoon before I preached our church last night. I was nervous. I'm nervous right now. I got butterflies in my stomach. Maybe here in a minute they'll get flying in formation again. I just asked the Lord to help me and give me the message that he would want me to preach. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to impress you. I don't want to impress any preacher here. But I sure would like to impress God. I just like to please him. And so that's what we're going to try to do. Just going to try to please him, try to honor him. And why don't you stand and stretch your legs one time? You do that. As we're reading God's word, we're going to read beginning Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 16. We'll read through verse 20. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray to Heavenly Father. I sure do need you. God, I cannot do this alone. God, I need your power. God, I need you to calm my nerves. God, I ask that you would help me to say all the things that would be pleasing to you. And God, that you would bind me and help me not to say anything that would displease you. God, I ask that you'd help me to be bold. God, but I do ask that you would, Lord, help me to just preach exactly what you would want me to preach. God, I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I find in this scripture something that's pretty interesting. We find in verse 16 the people that were there. And we find that there's 11 disciples. The Bible says, "Then the 11 went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." And so I just take the Bible for what it is. I find that there's 11 disciples there. Amen. And so we get down to verse 17. It says, "When they saw him, they worshiped him." That'd be a good thing to do. Amen. Just worship the Lord. But I want to focus in on the next three words. The Bible says these words, "But some doubted." That's amazing to me. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of things about the Bible that amazes me and that I get confused about. But I'll be honest, and when I read this scripture, I thought that is really something, because obviously every one of us has preached or we've taught about how Thomas was a doubter, but that's not what the Bible says here. The Bible says, "But some doubted." Right. Wasn't just Thomas that was doubting. In fact, the matter is, there was more than just one. There was some that was doubting. I would even say this, there was a big old majority of them that was doubting. And what's amazing to me is this, is that we find the timing of this doubt. The timing of this doubt is simply this. It was after Jesus had already been crucified. It was after Jesus had already rose up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. It was already after Jesus had already done really the most important thing that could ever be accomplished. And the disciples saw that. The disciples saw exactly what would happen. But at this moment, some doubted.
Right.
And can I say that we're living in a time where we got a bunch of doubters. A bunch of folks that are sitting in churches, they've been saved by the grace of God. They have seen Jesus work miracles in their life. They've seen God do very special things in their life. But some doubted. But some doubted. I've got them in my church and you've got them in your church. We've got them preaching behind our pulpits a lot of times. Amen? But some doubted. But some doubted. The timing of the doubt. I find the temptation to doubt. I mean, honestly, these are men who had just been really run through the ringer here, right? I mean, they had been on some major highs where they saw Jesus doing major miracles. They'd seen Jesus doing some very special things. Then they just went through a deep valley where the Bible says they all forsook him. They ran away. They didn't really want to be around him anymore because they were scared to death, and they were in this valley. They saw their Savior. And let me say this, they saw their friend crucified on the cross of Calvary. And then we find that another mountaintop happened, and all of a sudden Jesus appears before them, and it's just a miracle thing. But now they understand this. Jesus is fixing to go to heaven, and he's not going to physically be there.
Right.
Yeah. Things are fixing to change. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. We're just talking about a few days they've been without Jesus. They're fixing to physically be without Jesus now till he comes back.
Right.
They're fixing to have to go to work. Now listen to me. Again, I'm not going to be deep. This is going to be very simple, and we're going to be right here in these portions of Scripture. But there's a temptation out there whenever God says, hey, you got to get to work.
Yeah.
Let me just make this statement. I heard a preacher say this one time. God will never do the supernatural when the natural will do. Now, I can't take credit for that, and I'll tell you who said it, but I can't remember. Amen. So if you want to write my name down beside it, you go ahead. But God is not a God that's going to step in and do the supernatural when you could just do the natural. Now, we serve a supernatural God, and there's no doubt he'll answer prayer, and there's no doubt he'll perform miracles. But can I say, when you would just go out and do the natural and that would do, God says, just go do it. Just go do it. Brother Daniel, the preachers will get up and say, God, please fill my church. And God says, why would I do the supernatural when you could just get out there and pass out a gospel tract? When you could just get out there and tell somebody about Jesus? Listen to me, friend. He'll never do the supernatural when just the natural will do. There's a temptation, though, to doubt. Now, Peter and James and John, they don't have Jesus to lean on. Amen. Now, I understand we're going to get to a place here in a minute. We're going to talk about it. He's always going to be with them. Amen.
Right.
I understand that. But I'm talking about physically. He's not going to be there.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
There's a temptation to doubt. But then I find the testimony of the doubters. These are the 11. I mean, it don't get no better than that.
Right. Yeah,
amen. Amen. We've got some great preachers in here, but we're talking about the preachers of preachers. Hey, we're talking about the ones the Bible said turn the world upside down. The 11. The testimony of the doubters. We're finding these men are going to be the ones that are going to have to go out there and spread the gospel throughout all the world. But then we find the transgression of doubt. Can I remind you that it is sin? It's impossible to please him without what? Faith. Impossible. We still believe that, right?
Yes, sir.
You cannot please God without having faith in him. Doubting is still sin, and so we find the transgression of sin, but can I say, and this is going to be the message, we find the triumph over doubt. We need some triumph over doubt.
Yes, sir.
Like never before in our churches, we need some triumph. We need some victory over doubt. We need some preachers just to get victory over their personal doubt. We need some Sunday school teachers to get victory over their personal doubt. We need some mamas and daddies to get victory over their personal doubt. We've got to get through this thing of being doubting of the things of God, of the miracles of God, and just go out and do what God has told us to do. We need some folks that are back at the altar weeping for their lost loved ones because they don't doubt in the God of heaven that can save their lost loved ones. We need some mamas and daddies at an altar weeping before God that God had saved their kids and used their kids because they don't doubt in the God of heaven that can do it. Listen, we need some preachers that'll go to God and believe that he can do it and he is able to do it. Listen to me, friend. We've got to get past and get some victory over our doubt. I'm not going to be long. I'm just going to give you 3 points here and I'm going to be done. But I do think they're important because this is Jesus' words. Jesus, it's amazing. The Bible says those three words, But some doubted. And then Jesus steps up. Boy, that's good, isn't it? The Bible says, but some doubted, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying. So humor me for a minute. Here's these 11, and they're doubting. Thomas has done rubbed off on them. Right? They're doubting. They're wondering if they can do everything that Jesus has already told them they were going to do. By the way, Jesus already told you to do some things. Amen. Boy, for the last year, haven't we all doubted? Can't open the churches up. Amen. We've heard good preaching on that. Can't pass out gospel tracts. Can't be a witness. Can't do this. Can't do that because we're just doubting God.
Well, amen.
Amen. We're just doubting God. All of a sudden, we're scared to death of everything, fearing everything. The brother said it earlier, and simply because some doubted. Doubting. But Jesus steps up and he says, I want to speak a minute.
Amen.
And he says, let me just tell you three things. Notice what he says here. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Number one, I want to say to you that the power is still there.
Amen.
The power is still there. There's still power in the precious word of God. There's still power in the precious blood of the Savior. There's still power in behind gospel, old-time preaching. There's still power behind old-time singing. There's still power in those hymns that you sing. There's still power in the God of heaven, Jesus said. Hey, fellas, you ain't got to worry. You ain't got to fret. Hey, you ain't got to be upset. I still got all the power in all of heaven and in all earth. Hey, you ain't got to be worried. You ain't got to be fearful. I still have the power.
Amen.
The disciples looked at him and they just watched their Savior. They just watched their friend being crucified on the old rugged cross. And let me say, he had to humble himself because he was God. But listen to me, friend. He humbled himself as a man and came and hung on the old rugged cross. And they watched that happen. But they forgot. Just 3 days later, he come up victorious out of death, hell, and the grave. And he's alive today. And he said, hey, fellas, don't you lose faith in me. I still got the power. I can still do it. I can still accomplish it. I'm still God.
Amen.
Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
Amen? They doubted. And Jesus looked them in the eyes and said, hey, I still got it.
Amen?
Hey, I still got it. Listen, I willingly went to the cross. Nobody put me there. I willingly hung there. Nobody made me. I willingly said it is finished. Nobody said it for me. I still got the power. Listen to me. There's power that is still there. The second thing, I want you to notice what he said in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now listen to me. This is the part where we've really failed in the last year. First of all, the power is still there, but second of all, the plan is still timely.
Amen, preacher. Amen, brother. That's good.
Jesus said, hey, the plan still in place. Hey, every church, listen to me, every preacher, the plan is still in place. I'm hearing too many preachers preach where they're simply almost telling the church or telling other preachers, let's just sit by and wait for Jesus to come back. Can I just say this, that he never gave another command? That was the last one. He said to go. He said to teach all nations. Go out and preach the gospel. There wasn't another command. And can I say, until we hear the next command, come up hither. This is the last command. Preacher, you listen to me. You go out and share the gospel. Hey, Christian, listen to me. The plan is still in place. He didn't say there's another plan. He didn't say, wait a little while, I'll give you something else. No, keep doing it until I come. Boy, we have failed in the last year. We have failed in the last year. How many times have we passed out gospel tracts? But hey, we don't mind giving somebody a card or some money to pay for some food. What's the difference? What's the difference? Shame on us. Shame on us. Our churches have set in just a pattern of we're just okay where we're at. Listen to me, friend. Listen to me, friend. A lost and dying world is not okay where they're at. They need somebody to go out and share the gospel. They need somebody to go ye therefore. They need somebody to teach them. Listen to me, friend. The plan is still timely. Didn't change. You know this as well as I do. Y'all are a lot more better scholars than I am when it comes to the Bible. There's no doubt about that. You can agree with that after you hear me preach, amen? But all throughout the Gospels, Jesus tried to teach them what he was getting ready to do. Right? Over and over again. Now, they didn't want to hear it, just like a lot of us don't want to hear it. But he tried to tell them over and over, I'm going to die on a cross. Amen. I'm the Lamb. He tried to tell them, hey, this is all about me. Jesus tried to say.
Amen.
And so there, he simply says this, hey, what I've been trying to tell you didn't change.
Amen.
It didn't change. You say, Brother Daniel, we're living in the last days. We are. But can I remind you what Paul tells Timothy? But continue thou.
Amen.
But continue thou.
Amen, preacher.
But continue thou.
Amen.
Well, we've just been sitting on our hands. Scared. I mean, what? That's somebody's little boy, little girl needs to be picked up and brought to church. Amen. Somebody's mom and daddy needs you to go tell them about Jesus Christ. Jesus is still in the saving business. He's not changed. He's not changed. And the plan didn't change. The plan didn't change. I don't know what time it is, but I'm almost done, Brother Andrew. I find this. Look with me and lo, last phrase of the last verse, I'm with you always. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Even unto the end of the world. I find thirdly, the promise is still true.
Amen. That's good preaching. That's good preaching.
He ain't went nowhere. He's not disappeared in the last year. People still getting saved. Listen. I can give you several examples in my church over just the last few months.
Yes, sir.
Of people, honestly, we have a young lady got saved at our church back right around Christmas time, and we'd been praying for her, and I'll just be honest with you, she hated my guts. Amen? I know that's hard for you to believe, but she did. She hated me. She put bad stuff about us on Google, amen, preaching bad about, or talking bad about me, and we've been praying for her because she was girlfriend of a young man that was in our church. And I'd been, she really hated me because I told him he didn't need to be unequally yoked. Amen.
Yeah.
That's a different message. But then all of a sudden she comes to church. You know what I did? I didn't say, hey, you shouldn't be talking about me like that. I just loved her. Just said, hey, I'm glad you're here. Just a few weeks later. She come to me, and she called me on a Sunday morning. She said, Brother Daniel, I'm coming to the church early, me and my brother, and we want to be saved.
Amen.
I'll be honest, she ain't missed his church service yet. Amen. We had a revival just a few months, or I guess last month, and she quit her job at Taco Bell because they wanted her to work during revival. God's still here.
Amen.
He's not lost his power. The plan is still in place.
Amen.
The promises are still true. Let me tell you this story. I heard it one time. I thought it was good, and I'm going to be done. There was a little boy. His daddy went to squirrel hunting. He made like to hunt. Amen. And the daddy brings the little boy. My little boy's back here. We like to hunt. And Gavin killed his first deer this year. Amen. And we like to hunt. And the little boy and daddy went into the woods. They were getting deep into the woods. And the dad said, "Now, son, I want you to sit right here in front of this big oak tree. And I want you to just wait for the squirrels to come." And they gave him his little .22. And he said, "And I'm not going to be very far. And I'm coming back." Amen. So the little boy sits there, and it's in the evening time. And all of a sudden, the sun starts to go down. You know how it is. Little boys get to be, they're real macho when they're around daddy. But all of a sudden, they get a little fearful. Sun's starting to go down. And all of a sudden, yeah, that's right. Then all of a sudden, he starts seeing things in the woods. You know how it is. So, kind of how some of you men do deer hunting early in the morning. You just don't tell anybody about it. Amen. Start hearing noises. Amen. All of a sudden, he looks over, and sure enough, something goes running by. And he kind of jumps over, and he realizes a deer. It scared him to death. He's sitting there, and it's getting pretty dark. And you know how it is. Daddy's dark is different than little boy's dark. Amen. He thinks it's real dark. And so he's sitting there, and his heart's just a pumping. He's scared to death, and he's just shaking. He's put his gun down. He's just shaking. He's just beside himself. And all of a sudden, he hears the owl, right? Hoo, hoo. And he thinks, "What in the world? There's something out here in these woods." By this time, he starts to cry. His daddy, all of a sudden, comes around and touches him on the shoulder. And the little boy looks up and says, Daddy, you're not going to believe it. He said, "Boy, it's so scary out here. It's getting dark, and you're not going to believe it. There was all these different noises, all these different things that were going on out here in the woods." And the daddy said, "Yeah, I know it. I was just on the other side of the tree. And lo, I'm with you always." Boy, there's a lot of noises right now, ain't there? It's on every hand. And is it real easy for the child of God to get fearful and start to doubt? And it'd be real easy for the child of God to quit on him. It'd be real easy for the child of God to stop witnessing for him. It'd be real easy for the child of God to stop working. But can I say it's not time to quit? Because the Savior is still there, and he's coming back for us, and he's always going to be there. The promise is still true. The plan still works. And my friend, he's still got all the power. Some doubted. Maybe did not. Maybe this afternoon, you need to come to an altar and say, "God, I've been doubting, but I'm done. God, I've been doubting. I hadn't prayed for my lost loved ones like I used to do, but today I'm gonna start. God, I've been doubting. I hadn't been the witness that I'm supposed to be in, but today I'm gonna start. God, I've been thinking about quitting. But God, I realize you're still got all the power. And the plan still works. God, I've been feeling kind of lonely. I've been doubting your presence. But lo, you're with me always." Oh, he's coming back quick.
Yes, sir.
But can I say, you can talk with him today.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He's right there. Some doubted. Don't let that be you. With the people that are in this room, we could do just like the disciples, turn the world upside down.
Amen.
But too many people are doubting. Let's pray to Heavenly Father. God, I pray that I was a help and not a hindrance. God, I ask that you would bless this church. Lord, bless the invitation time. Lord, bless Brother Andrew. Lord, I sure do love you. Thank you for blessing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, head bowed.